the blessings that God desires to bring into your life in the future, the stewardship of those blessings is going to happen in regards to how hard you're willing to work and how you're willing to work with others.
Welcome to part two of this week's message in our series, Chasing Wisdom. Every week this summer at Three Creeks Church, we're chasing wisdom by looking at what God says about pursuing a life well lived. The second part of the chase is finding people who have followed God for a long time and gained wisdom. Let's hear what they have to say.
All right. Well, hey, Three Creeks. My name is Joel. Welcome to week six, part two of our Chasing Wisdom series in the book of Proverbs. I'm here with somebody who's becoming a close friend. His name's Clancy Cruz. He's the pastor at Marysville Grace up here in Marysville, Ohio. He's been a pastor for 30 years. So for me, I've been a pastor, seems like about 30 minutes. And so for me to get to sit here and talk with Clancy is a joy for me. I think it'll be a joy for you. We're talking about hard work, and Clancy was specifically chosen for this topic. I'll get into some of the reasons why in a minute, but before I do that, maybe I'll just let you introduce yourself. Who are you?
Yeah.
Tell me about your family and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so Clancy was heck on the playground growing up, but now it's easy to remember, but that's my real name. Sandy and I have been married 33 years. Just delighted to been blessed with four kids. And in 2002, being a lifelong Buckeye, growing up in Worcester, Ohio, and then being asked by the Powell Grace Church to come to Marysville in 2002 to plant a church. Been in Central Ohio now 18 years. Started a church in our living room. Our kids were 10, 8, 6, and 4. Wow. And so they grew up in a church planter's home, where we actually had the church in our house. And so they're all serving in ministry at one capacity or another, and really thankful for that. They're walking with the Lord. But Sandy's been a lifelong, ever since college, been a nurse, registered nurse. And we've always been a rather driven couple. Her more than me. I teased with Joel that you really should have Sandy here talking about discipline and work ethic. She's taught me an amazing amount in every area of life. She maybe wouldn't agree with that totally, but I think she understands now that we're better together. And maybe that's just one thing I don't want to forget to say, is that in Ecclesiastes it says two are better than one. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to getting things done, when it comes to working hard, always better to have someone equally in the yoke with you and pulling together. You have each other's back, and you can double your benefit and just have a companion along the way. So whether it's partnership, friendship, courtship, or marriage, it's always great to be in work together as a team. So, sorry I got a little preachy there, but you no, came here, man.
No, and I, you know, for me, having just planted Three Creeks a couple of years ago, I have a lot more questions than answers about everything. And Clancy's been somebody who I know has always been a phone call away. There have been a few things that I just pick up the phone and call you and go, how do you navigate that? So, I'm really thankful. Let's get into the topic today. Proverbs 14:23 says this, that all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Talking about work, talking about discipline, hard work. Clancy, just maybe interact with that proverb a little bit. How has that proverb fleshed itself out in your life? Is it true? Can you tell us that it is true?
Yeah, it is true. We know, those of us who love the Word of God know that the Word of God is true. So, of course, it's true. But in a practical sense, I've experienced it. So my wife just read a book. We were recently in Florida and then down in Mississippi visiting our daughter, who's an RN, like her mom. We like the thrift store. You know, hooked a little bit. You go to a different state, different place. We're always Googling, you know, where the closest thrift stores are or yard sales. And I'm a bit of a bookophile. And so I found a book which my wife finished in no time at all. It's a very short book, and it's called Make Your Bed. Mm-hmm. And it's by a Navy admiral who spoke at a graduation, probably Annapolis or something like that. And so with the kids and with the practical, is this true that all hard work brings a profit? It's true. And so all means little work and big work, right? Mm-hmm. Little things and big things. And that's really one of the principles I wanted to bring today in this time together, was that, you know, when Jesus said, whoever can be trusted with little can be trusted with much. Yeah. It's this principle from Proverbs that you work, there's going to be a reward. You work, there's going to be a return. And doing little things like making your bed, you know, and I make our bed every day. Maybe a little bit of an exaggeration, but my wife knows that I'm going to get that done. I'm going to make our bed every day.
When you think about, you know, working hard, especially working hard consistently over a long period of time, you know, this proverb says that it leads to a profit, but or brings a profit, but doesn't always bring a profit as quickly as we want it to. Mm-hmm. So there's an aspect of, you know, being disciplined enough to continue to work even when you don't see all the results right away. So my question is, in light of that, my question is, somebody out there, somebody's watching, going, man, I've been working my tail off and I just can't seem to like get ahead. I always feel like I'm behind. Maybe just a word of encouragement or word of clarity to somebody who they're in the trenches of just not seeing the results right now.
I guess I would ask them to change their perspective a little bit and look at work holistically, because the scenario you just laid out seems to me to be related to our career and to, you know, where we go 9 to 5 or third shift. And, you know, we're out here in Honda country, and so a lot of our people are engineers or work on the line or work in one of the subsidiaries of Honda, and they work all hours, you know, as many people in many cities, and maybe even in your city, people work all hours. But I think that work and discipline, the Bible says this. This is in Ecclesiastes. I know you're in Proverbs, but it says the sleep of a working man is sweet, whether he eats little or much. But the full belly of the rich man does not allow him to sleep. So you have to think about, what am I really after when it comes to working hard?
Yeah.
Am I just looking for riches? Well, there's lots of warnings in the Bible about riches.
Yeah.
Right? And riches are a double-edged sword, and you have to be super spiritual as a believer to be able to handle riches. You have to be very humble before the Lord to handle riches, or it'll take you over.
Okay, so I have about 22 follow-up questions. All that was really good. Let me touch on two of them. The first is a mom out there who, in my opinion, has got the toughest gig. I mean, your UPS job doesn't hold a candle to being a stay-at-home mom.
Got it.
I mean, I'm coming home at 5 and I'm going, she needs backup, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, what a tough gig. So for somebody that is a stay-at-home mom, you know, what do you say to them in the trenches at home about how their hard work will bring a profit?
I'm thinking like Sandy right now, and she would love to answer this question, or I'd love to hear what she would say, but I think what she would say is taking, as a parent at home with young kids, you have to take the long view of that. And develop a friendship with your children. But Sandy would say, you're not their pal, you're their parent. And so work hard in that space to teach the kids a strong work ethic. All of our kids,
I want to hear this.
All of our kids had chores that weren't always fun. But they had chores and responsibilities.
How old do you think they were when that started?
They were clearing dishes from the table at 3 years old.
Sure.
You know, and no excuses. You can go play when this is done, you know? You can go to the Xbox when this is done, and you know, but then it gets a little older and they have, you know, and then they're not there during the evening meals. But yeah, our kids had chores, emptying the trash cans around the house and vacuuming and dusting, and you know, and Sandy did a good job of keeping up with things all during the week, so you didn't spend all day Saturday cleaning a terribly dirty house, you know. And again, that takes work, but you keep up on that, and they keep their room picked up, and we would be on them. And the kids didn't like it at times, but tough. If they're going to get out in the world and work,
yeah.
If we want to prepare our kids, not just protect our kids, we want to prepare them for work, they need to work at home. You know, and sorry for my tone, but I'm just a little passionate about this. That you know, and you know, you don't want to work, then your face is in the corner for 10 minutes or longer. You know, you don't want to help clean the bathroom. Okay, your option is to stand in the corner while we clean the bathroom. Mm. Sorry,
that's a great. I'm trying to think of like something that would be more impressive in a 16-year-old than a servant heart and a strong work ethic.
It's
impressive. You want to talk about the light of the world, that stands out like a sore thumb in a high school, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But back to the mom.
Yeah.
You have a very tough job, but let me speak to the dad who may be working outside the home. Now, I know there's two career homes and all of that, but communication, I wanted to bring this up too, and you think, well, how does communication relate to work? Like, I would call home on my way home just to see the condition of things and then to prepare myself for what I was going to walk in the door with, you know. And sometimes it was just fine, but other times it had been World War III all day long. And I just wanted to know what I'm walking into and how I can help. But where I failed in that is I'd walk in and things would be chaotic, and I would either come in as, you know, Superman, you know, and I got all the answers, which translated into my wife has failed all day, you know, and it brought resentment. And I'm like, where's this resentment coming from? Because I was inadvertently communicating, honey, you've screwed up all day. You look at these kids. Look how crazy the house is. And having, you know, because I have these ideals that she's going to meet me at the door with a drink in lingerie while the kids are taking a nap. That's what I think about on the way home. And it's just stupid.
Yeah.
You know, we have these ideals in our head of what it ought to be like, instead of calling ahead, finding out how she's doing, and then say, how can I partner with you when I walk in the door? Not come in and start meeting out the spankings.
Yeah.
But coming in, having already assessed the situation. Now, I've had a hard day too, and she knows that. But it's all about work, that two together are better than just one person swooping in and saving the day.
And
so that communication is vital. And we weren't perfect at this, but we would communicate during the day. And if I had to call home or come home for lunch to take care of a kid, to handle something, I would do it. Now, some of you aren't in a position to do that.
Sure.
But some of you are. Like, hey, put him on the phone, especially Brandon. You know, put him on the phone.
Yeah.
And I would assist her by bringing some weight to her words that, hey, son, guess what? Listen to your mom or else, son. You know, and be partners, you know, being the yoke together, being the two are better than one thing all during the day. That helps the mom know that she's not just home alone. You know, unfortunately, some people are workplace where, you know, you can't really call and talk. But during your break, during lunch, on the way home, being there as true partners in real time.
Yeah, it's good. So that for sure, I'm writing notes on that. I'm taking notes down on that one, because I come home and go, anybody want to have fun? You know? And we can talk about that too. But truly, that proverbially just hit me in the teeth of, you know, coming in as Superman, inadvertently communicating, well, you weren't good enough, so you must have needed me to come in to help.
Yeah.
Proverbially, feel free to take another sledgehammer to my teeth and talk to the dads out there.
You're welcome, Morgan.
Talk to the dads out there. We come home at 5. Mm. Our kids don't go down till 8. We've got a few hours and we're wiped. We're already wiped.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what does work ethic look like as a husband, as a father, in those times?
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Yeah, because Sandy didn't clock out at 5 like I did. You know, she still has all these hours left in the day. You know, we would get into the place where, and this, you can ask her, you know, we did this. She would literally give me 15 or 20 minutes to go off into the house sometimes. She knew that I didn't really arrive home till a half an hour after I got home. Hmm. We kind of happened upon that after just, you know, having bad interaction and me being Superman or being the drill sergeant when I got home. And she would give me some space to arrive, but then I had to show up. You know, if I get home at 5:15, 5:30, 6 o'clock, and I said, honey, I need that space, so when I do come out of the phone booth, you know, as Superman, she knows that it's the right tone, right attitude, right purpose, so giving me some decompression time. Or, you know, you guys come up with the idea that, hey, sit in the driveway for 10 minutes and take a power nap. And this is true stuff. And then when I come in, honey, you go to a place of isolation. You take a half hour break. You go for a walk. You go upstairs in the attic where the air conditioning's running and read your book for a half an hour.
Yeah.
And I'll see what you've been dealing with all day, and I'll get dinner on the table, and then we'll work better together to get the kids down. And that tone, that collaborative tone, helps with the kids too. And then when they do need disciplined, or they're having an attitude at the table, or they're throwing their food or smacking their brother, then the two of you stand side by side, and it's not your polar opposites, and a house divided can't stand.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So all of that communication and collaboration and cooperation has to be, that dance has to be discovered per couple, per home, per context.
Yeah. It's good. I got one more question for you. I didn't even tell you. I got a couple questions for you, but this one I don't think I warned you on. I was talking with somebody the other day, and I said, what does work look like for you? And he said something along the lines of, you know, I'm single, I'm not married yet, I've got all the time in the world to work, I may as well, quote unquote, get ahead now before I get married. And I think, you know, this guy's working really hard, and he's being really successful, but you know, he even said, I'm a quote-unquote workaholic, and he's working 60 or 70 hours. Now, what would you say to somebody who's 25, isn't married yet, has margin that a married person with kids doesn't have yet, committing that much time to work? And I don't even know if there's a right answer across the board, but maybe what would be some principles that you'd want that person to know?
Well, the second part of the verse says the wealth of the wise is their crown. So that outward display of wealth, the crown, so to speak, metaphorically speaking, has come from wise earning and wise stewardship of life. And I would say that it's unwise to work year after year after year with no margin. And again, I'm assuming that this scenario is accurate, that there's no margin. It's 60, 70 hours of work, fall into bed, get up, grab a little breakfast, go hard, come home, maybe work out at the gym, maybe do this. But those habits are going to be hard to break going into a relationship that you hope to build into a lifelong marriage. Yeah. You know, also, there's an underlying concern there that profit is going to bring all kinds of opportunities and goodness into my life. And so that single workaholic guy that or gal that think they might be saving up all these means to buy a good life, I'm exaggerating to make a point, you have to be careful of that, because you're putting your dependence on wealth. You're putting your hope and comfort and prospects on wealth.
Good. I got one more question on work ethic, discipline. It relates specifically to raising kids. Obviously, you know, the chores that started young for you guys. Your kids get into junior high, high school. Do they get a car? Do they get a job? That kind of stuff. How do you navigate that as a parent? How do you maybe reflect on, you said Brandon, or any of your kids? You know, is there a story that helps illustrate you know, your approach to instilling this value in your kids?
Yeah, there's many, many stories. But let me set it this way. We tried to cast vision for our kids in regards to how important work is or discipline. And the vision, vision by its nature has fuzzy edges. You can't be super specific in it. But we would tell our kids that the blessings that God desires to bring into your life in the future, the stewardship of those blessings is going to happen in regards to how hard you're willing to work and how you're willing to work with others. And so having multiple kids, we didn't have 12, but we had 4, they had to learn to work together. So doing the lawn together or doing laundry together or doing the cleaning together or painting together or helping me do a project together, you know, I would probably, if I could do it over again, I would do better at that, at working with them on projects. But just helping them know that their future and the ideals that they have in their head for ministry or marriage or friendship or changing the world or helping the poor or whatever they might do really comes down to, can you get your butt out of bed on time? Can you show up on time? Can you get the job done right according to the person who's in charge? All of our kids worked some form of a job in high school. They helped pay their bills through college, through summer jobs. And all of them are now gainfully employed, thank the Lord, and work hard. And they enjoy that. And they work together well. They communicate well. We're so thankful for that.
That's really good.
It's a real blessing.
As you said that, I thought, there are times when I go, you know, to my daughter, Cooper, you clean your room. Judah, you go clean your room. There's benefit. It's not only go work hard, but the benefit of learning to work hard with others. I don't know that I ever thought about that until right now. So to say, Cooper and Judah, you guys go tackle that together. When you're done, come back, and then we'll go tackle this together. Yeah. That's just a little thing that would make a big difference. It's good. Okay, call this the final four. They're unrelated to work ethic, I think, maybe. But if we get some time with you, we want to just ask you some questions.
Okay.
If somebody wanted to read one book, they're not really a reader. They're just going to read one other than the Bible. Would you have a book that you think would help somebody grow in their life and faith?
I don't read a lot of Christian books. I don't. I might pick one up every now and then, but my family knows that I love to read history. Some people find it, you know, as boring as watching paint dry, but I like to read history in the form of biographies. Like if you were to look in my library, you'd find a lot of different biographies of individuals who were world-changing people in history. And I'm just going to give you what I would say. Yeah. Just read more history.
Second question. Other than like a time in a chair with your Bible and or in prayer, other than like kind of your cliche quiet time, how else do you connect with God? What's another way you do that?
That's so much a part of how I connect with God. But let me just say this. I read my Bible pretty much every day. But I've gotten into bullet journaling. Are you familiar with bullet journaling? Yeah, there's tons of YouTube videos out there, and there's a dude somewhere that invented the idea. He didn't invent the idea of journaling, but a bullet journaling. And I'll just sit, and I know that I've got my Bible time in, and I've prayed, and I'll just sit with my bullet journal. I'll show you afterwards.
Yeah.
And I have different sections in there. One of them's called Headspace. And as busy as we are, you know, we started a business, a family business. It just helps to just sit with a journal. Now, it's not paragraph journaling that I do. It's a bullet journal, and that's just kind of who I am. I'm a bullet journal or a post-it note kind of guy, not a, you know, reflection journaling. But I would say that that's been a new and probably, I would say, permanent tool that I brought into reflection. Now, is it necessarily time with God? No, but I've never compartmentalized like that. So as I'm making a list for our store, or I'm making a list for our home of to-do things, or scheduling travel, or dreaming, or thinking of the future, I am thinking about the Lord and what might come and how might my life change with this new season of life. I hope to be in a new chapter in the next 3 to 5 years in my life. And so I'm thinking about that now. And then those things turn into somewhat of a prayer list, like, okay, Lord, this is the desire of my heart, Proverbs 37. You know, I want to delight in you, and then you give me the desires of my heart. If these are part of your will, then so be it, but here's where my heart is. So I've been doing that just about every day.
Okay, I love it. 33 years with your wife. Mm. One thing you could go back and go, I'm so glad we did that.
Yeah, the one thing I know has been a tremendous blessing, and we would encourage every spouse to do, it's kind of a three-part thing, is stay-at-home date night, going out date night, and then time away together, just the two of us. And and some people might be in a space where they don't have anyone they might trust the kids with, but that's why life groups and that's why friendships in the church are so important, to build that so that you can go away. So at least once or twice a month we would be out of the house date night. Even now, even though all of our kids are out of the house, except one, but he's this close, so pray with us for that. And then, you know, we would even go overnight, you know, to a hotel or Airbnb or you name it. We would make it nice. And again, we'd have to save up for that. We didn't want to go on the cheap for those kind of things.
And then one thing you look back and go, man, I wish somebody would have told me that. Could have spared some hurt or grief. One thing that you would...
I'll tell you honestly, maybe. We don't, and I think Sandy would agree, we don't have, praise the Lord, we don't have any of those major wounds or fallout. You know, this may sound interesting coming from a pastor, but I think I would challenge all believing parents to really challenge your kids spiritually in their faith. Keep the pressure, and I mean good, keep the pressure on them to keep growing their faith. Hey, when they're in third grade or fourth grade doing their memory verse for Sunday school, or going online and watching what the children's director is doing, or going to camps and all of that, you know, when they get up into the teenage years, I want to go to football camp, or I want to go to lacrosse camp, or I want to go over here, I want to do this music thing or this choir thing, and we feel obliged to just fill up with all these things, and next thing you know, their faith is number 7 on the list. And man, it's, don't do that. I mean, yeah, you got to let them pursue their gifts and abilities, but not at the cost of their faith. Just keep it strong and keep them memorizing scriptures. One of the things we feel, you know, really thankful is that we memorize scripture as a family. Like this proverb, we just memorize it with hand motions, a little goofy, a little cheesy, but they still remember them.
So good.
And so memorizing scripture is, my wife may disagree slightly, but that's why we're such a good team, is that memorizing scripture is far better than some ideal family devotional time. Now, if you can get that from your kids, go for it, plus memorize scripture. But for me, if you're going to miss one, don't miss the memorizing scripture. Mostly Proverbs, but memorize gospel verses with your kids. Get gospel verses memorized into their soul, and they won't depart from it.
Yeah, it's good. This is it, man. This is week 6, part 2. I could talk to Clancy for a couple more hours. Maybe one day we'll get a chance to hear from him in person, since he's just a hop, skip, and a jump away. So, Clance, thanks for being with us.
Amen.
Three Creeks, I love you. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening. We hope this interview was encouraging and helpful as you chase wisdom and pursue a life well lived. To find out more about our church, connect with others, or to give online, visit threecreekschurch.com.